All right, we're going to do a little bit something different tonight. We are going to have some handout sheets for the message. Thank you, Brother Andy. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to look at one of the parables of Christ. As you know, on Wednesday night, we've been studying through the parables. And because we have a handout for every parable, I thought we better have one tonight. Now, this morning, we looked at the parable of the lost sheep during our Sunday school time. And this evening, we are going to look at the parable of the lost coin. So please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, and we'll be looking at verses 8 to 10. Luke chapter number 15, I'm sure for some of you this evening, these are some of your favorite parables, and they certainly reach our hearts in revealing the heart of God for the lost, for you and I. Luke chapter number 15, verses 8 to 10. Now remember, if you miss any blanks, they're at the back page on the bottom, just to make it easy for everyone. So Luke chapter 15, look with me in your Bibles, please, at verses 8 to 10. Actually, let's begin in verse 1 and read verses 1 and 2 and 3, and then we'll go to 8 to 10. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Verse 3, "And he spake unto them, and he spake this parable unto them, saying," we go on to verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in heaven, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you that these are mysteries, Lord, that the unsaved cannot possibly understand, that the Pharisees and the scribes were completely blind to, that yet, Lord, as your people, these are truths that we can not only understand, but that we can rejoice in abundantly this evening. Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to know you more. And Lord, help us to go from this place seeing a greater measure of your love for us through the precious word of God this evening. Lord, help us to live for you and to love you in these days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to the parable of the lost coin, let me just set the scene once again. As we mentioned this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ had multitudes of people around him. Notice verse 25 of chapter 14. "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." Now, the following passages, the Lord laid out his high expectations for his disciples. You see, the Lord said, not everyone can be my disciple. Everyone can be saved if they repent of their sins and put their faith in me as Savior, but not everyone that is saved will be the Lord's disciples. Why? Because the Lord has some high expectations. If we want to follow the Lord says in his word in chapter 14 that it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. The Lord says, you need to put me first in your life. I need to be your first love. And then the Lord says, you need to take up your cross and follow me. We need to be willing to bear the shame of the cross. We need to be willing to surrender to the Lord and make sacrifices for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord explained this to the multitudes around him, the Lord said at the end of the chapter, verse 35, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now there were many people that were listening to the Lord that day. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 of chapter 15, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." So here we see those, a group that knew they needed to be saved, that were seeking a Saviour. Those who were listening because they knew they had a need. The publicans were despised tax collectors. They were looked down upon as cheats because they were robbing their own people as Jews and working for the Romans and making a profit over the Jewish people. They were despised. They were looked down upon as wicked. They certainly knew they needed a Saviour. The sinners, those who are described here as sinners, obviously knew they needed a Saviour. But then we see also another group, verse 2, those who were religious. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So understand what's taking place. Here are the Pharisees, here are the scribes, here are the religious elite in the nation of Israel, and they're listening to what Christ is saying. And he lays out his high expectations for everyone who would be a follower, who would be a disciple, who will be a learner from him. And then you can imagine what they were thinking as they were listening. They probably said to themselves as they murmured, "Who does this guy think he is? Who does he think he is? Here he is lifting himself up and demanding such great things from people who would follow him. And he's not even one of us. He's just, look at him. He's a hypocrite." Notice verse number two. They murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They watch the Lord. They look for something to accuse him with. And they said, "Wow, look at this guy. He's a hypocrite. He has such high standards. And yet look at him. He's eating with sinners. He's eating with publicans and sinners. Not only does he receive them, but he eats with them." And little did they know, amen, little did the Pharisees and scribes know that they were giving the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest compliment that they ever would. "This man receiveth sinners." How many of you this evening are thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ receiveth sinners? My friends, if he did not receive sinners, we would all be in big trouble. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, "I've come not to save the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance." Thank God for this wonderful truth. And as the Lord heard what the Pharisees were murmuring in their hearts, now they didn't need to speak up loud. The Lord knew what was in their hearts. He began to teach them something that they could not possibly understand. The amazing, compassionate, long-suffering love of God. This morning we saw the parable of the lost sheep. And what's interesting is the parable of the lost sheep describes the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great shepherd. And the Lord teaches three parables. Really, you could bunch them all into one. Because the key word is which word? The word lost. Yes, love, absolutely. But the word lost. The lost sheep. The lost coin. And then the lost son. Remember the father and the son who left him. We'll see that in another lesson. But the key word is the word lost. And what's interesting is that the lost sheep describes the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lost son describes the love of God the Father. And the lost coin describes the love of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is a three times loving God. And we're going to see some wonderful truths about the ministry in salvation of the Holy Spirit of God here in Luke chapter number 15. Let's look this evening, just very briefly before we begin, let me mention this. The Lord teaches us a parable, as we've already read, of a woman who has 10 pieces of silver and loses one. Now, the word that describes this piece of silver in the Greek is drachma, and it also is equal to a Roman denarius, and that is believed to be equivalent of a whole day's wages. A whole day's wages. So this piece of silver was not a 5-cent coin that you may have dropped along the path. If you drop 5 cents or 10 cents on the ground somewhere, how many of us understand we wouldn't be too worried about that? We wouldn't lose any sleep over it. We wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night and go searching for it. But this piece of silver was precious. It meant a lot. It was precious to the owner. It wasn't just a little thing. Now, another insight in doing some research into Jewish culture, when a woman, a Jewish woman, was to be married, she usually wore a headband which included 10 pieces of silver coins around her brow on that headband. And that headband displayed to everyone that she has become a wife. Now, we could say this was a Jewish version of a wedding ring. Now, has any of you ever lost your wedding ring before? Amen. That includes me. How many of you said, oh, don't worry about that, we won't search for it? I don't think anyone would. In fact, I remember going back to the park where I lost my ring the next day, and we went with a metal detector scouring every blade of grass. We found bottle top lids. We found beer cans buried underneath the ground. But we didn't find the wedding ring. You see, this was something precious to the owner. This was something that was lost, but that the owner sought after because it was precious to them. And as we begin this parable, let me encourage you to see this is a picture of God's love for us. He sees us as precious, precious souls to the heart of God. That is how God sees us. In fact, every soul is precious to Him. Now, the owner of these coins still had 9 left. Is that right? One was gone. They still had 9, but this woman passionately went after, seeking after that lost coin, because every coin is precious. Every soul is precious. Everyone that is lost is precious to the heart of God. Well, this evening we're already getting an insight into the great love of the Lord, are we not? The Lord sees us as precious souls in need of salvation. And as we begin this evening's lesson, notice the love of the Spirit of God in the work of salvation. Roman numeral number 1, your blank is the Spirit's presence. Notice the Spirit's presence in this parable. The Spirit's presence. So if you miss a blank, they are on the back of your second page at the bottom. The Spirit's presence. Verse number 8, look with me there, of chapter 15. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle? Now, in biblical times, obviously, they did not have the comforts of electricity that we do today. How many are thankful that you can go home and switch on the fan, switch on the lights? Even if you have air conditioning, you can switch that on. And, you know, we take that for granted, don't we? We take that for granted. And how do we know that? Well, when a big storm is brewing or when a cyclone comes, suddenly we lose power. We begin to realize what it was like to live in Bible times with no electricity. And in order to light the home at night, the wife, the housewife of the home, would light a candle and would burn that candle in order to have light in the home. Now remember, in biblical times, candles are not what we know them to be today. Yeah. If you pull out some candles when there's a cyclone, probably a few wax candles, and that's what we burn. But in biblical times, the word candle means a portable lamp. They used oil lamps to burn light in the home. Now, I have a little miniature version of an oil lamp that I was given from a trip that my folks went to Israel, and they brought this back. And so this is a little replica of a biblical lamp, and not the string that's inside. They would have used another material. But basically, they were clay pots. And in that pot, they would keep oil. And then there would be a wick that would stick out at the end. And you can see that there. I'm sorry, it's a little bit small. And so in that clay pot, the oil was stored. The wick was lit. And it would burn at the end here. Not in the middle, but it would burn at the end. And that candle would light up the home. Some homes would have several candles. And here's the picture we have in the parable of the lost coin of a woman who loses that which is precious to her, and she lights a candle. She lights a candle to find the lost coin in the darkness. Now, where does the Holy Spirit of God fit into all this? Amen. That's right, brother. Do you remember throughout the scriptures, what does olive oil, oil in the Bible, represent? Who does it represent? It represents the Holy Spirit of God. Those of you who are who've been coming on Wednesday night, do you remember the parable of the foolish virgins? Do you remember when the groom came and some virgins were ready, some were not? They were meant to have their lamps filled with oil, but the foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. They were not ready for the bridegroom. They were not ready, and therefore they could not come to the wedding. And that was a picture of the fact that these ones were not saved. They did not have the Holy Spirit within them. They did not have the oil of God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling within them. They waited too late to be saved, and when Christ came, the opportunity of salvation was over. When we look at the use of olive oil in the tabernacle and the temple, remember that the lamps were to burn how long? Continuously. Continuously in the temple. Continuously in the tabernacle. Why? Because God wanted His people to know that He is with them always. His presence is with them always. The Spirit of God is always with them. Think about David's anointing as king. What happened when he was anointed by Samuel? You remember in Sunday school? What did Samuel pour on top of his head? Oil. Oil was used to anoint the kings, and it was symbolic of God's chosen servant, but also the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. So we understand in the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. And here, the candle, in the parable of the lost coin, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to understand. Here we see not only God's love, but more specifically, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. His presence and His work in seeking to save that which is lost. And here this parable describes the Spirit of God, the candle of the Lord. Now remember, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is not a thing. Right. Amen? He is not a power source. I remember JW coming to my door and saying, oh no, the Holy Spirit is not, He's not a person, He is a power source. He's a source of power. And I said, all right, well, here's a light bulb above me. That's a power source. Can I ask you a question? Can you grieve that power source? Can you grieve it? What do you mean? They said, well, if it's just an inanimate object, a power source, what does the Bible mean when the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible says He can be grieved. The Bible says He can be quenched. My friends, these are descriptions of personality. Not hard for us to understand. The Holy Spirit, He is the third person of the Trinity. Amen? We know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the Good Shepherd. But what about the Holy Spirit of God? You see, the Holy Spirit of God is described in the Bible as the Spirit of truth. He's described as the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom. He is not a person and He is not a thing, and He is present in the world today, working in the world to bring sinners to repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ. The parable of the coin is very obviously a description of a lost soul in the darkness. In the darkness. Now, do you see the love of God in His Word today? Do you see how God does not leave us in the dark? Now, many people in the world would like to live in the dark, would they not? They try to hide in the dark. They try to hide in all the dark corners of the world. But let me remind you that God is greater than their sin. God is seeking and searching for sinners. God is like a candle in a dark place, the Spirit of God, searching, seeking that whom may be saved. The ministry and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of the candle in the room reminds us of the presence of the Spirit of God. Notice next in Roman numeral number 2, the Spirit searching. The Spirit's searching. Your next blank is the word searching. So here in this parable, we have this description of a woman who has lost that which is precious to her. A candle is lit in the darkness, And notice what happens next. The house is swept, and the coin is diligently sought for. The Bible says, and seek diligently till she find it. Now remember, this was a rebuke to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were criticizing the Lord for receiving sinners. And the Lord said, well, you don't understand the love of God. I will not let a sinner go. I will seek after the lost. And in everything in my power, I will seek to save them. We saw that in the parable of the Good Shepherd. Likewise, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this is how the Spirit works. Notice the woman lights a candle. It burns in the darkness. It looks for the lost precious coin. And the woman sweeps the room. The woman searches for the room till she finds it. And my friends, that is how the Holy Spirit of God works. He seeks after the lost. He keeps going after the lost. There's nowhere to hide from the Lord. Amen? There's nowhere to hide from the Lord. Many people think they can run from God, but we cannot. No matter where we are, God is seeking. God is seeking to save. He seeks after us. And what a wonderful description. What a wonderful picture of God's amazing love. Did you know when you were lost in darkness and sin, God was seeking after you. The Lord Jesus Christ was seeking after you. The Holy Spirit was seeking after you. The Spirit of God. Notice John chapter 16. You can look in your notes or you can look in your Bibles. I think I gave you John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in the world. Let's read these verses aloud together, shall we? John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, on 2. 1, 2. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples, don't be grieved. Don't worry what will happen in the future. You know that I'll be leaving, but I will send another Comforter. The Comforter will come. Who is that Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And He has come into the world to do what? Verse number 8. He has come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove here means to convict. How many of us understand what that means? To convict the world. To reprove. To bring to light, if you will. To bring to light our sins. The Bible says He will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit of God, what is His ministry in salvation? His ministry is to convict the lost sinner of their sin. To show that lost sinner that they are in big trouble and that they need a Savior. That they are in darkness and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. The Holy Spirit of God not only rebukes in regards to sin, but also reveals what is right. What is right? As we hear the Word of God, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know what we've done is wrong, but then the Spirit of God reveals who God is. That He is righteous and He is holy, and we have not done that which is right. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Then what else does He do in verse number 8? He reproves of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit of God is at work in hearts to remind people that there is a judgment coming. That there is a judgment coming. We are all guilty sinners, and no one gets away with sin. One day there will be a day of judgment, a day of accountability. And if you're a Christian here this evening, are you not glad for the candle of the Holy Spirit of God, the light of the Holy Spirit of God sent into the world to convict our hearts when it comes to salvation in Christ. Thank God for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember a day when God was working on your heart to be saved? Do you remember a time when you were uneasy? When you were convicted when you heard the preaching of the Word? Or when you read the Word of God and you realized that you needed to be saved? Do you remember that time that the Holy Spirit of God was working through the Word of God to bring you to salvation? Now, I don't want to just say this as a practical lesson. My friends, this is a personal truth to rejoice in. God doesn't let us go. Can you see His love for the world? Can you see His love for you? That He searched after you and I in the darkness till we were found. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. You know, since I'm speaking, I'm sure we can go around the room, but since I have the microphone, I remember the 7th of May, 2005, when my mum confronted me about the fact I wasn't saved. She knew I didn't. I was pretending I was a Christian. She knew better. And she shared some passages of the Word of God. And that night, I felt sick to my stomach. I had a fear in my heart that I did not realize before. And I knew that very moment, if I died, I would be headed to a place called the Lake of Fire. I knew I was headed to hell. I couldn't sleep that night. Because I also knew what I had learned is that I was just one breath away from salvation. You see, the Holy Spirit of God was working on my heart. He was reproving me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's the night I repented of my sins. And I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save me once and for all. And I'm sure if we went around the room tonight, you would say the same thing, that there was a time where you were uneasy, you were stirred. Though no one else knew it, there was a peace in your heart that was not there. There was a disturbance. There was a fear. There was a horror of judgment. There was a desire and a longing for a Savior. My friends, that was not a work of our own selves. The Holy Spirit of God, you see, is in the world, seeking, revealing, bringing to light the need of salvation. Now, I don't want to be all charismatic about the Spirit of God tonight. I'm not saying that He's floating around the world and somehow He suddenly descends upon people and they are suddenly saved. The Holy Spirit of God, we understand from comparing Scripture with Scripture, how does He work? Well, He works through the Word of God, amen? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We need to be careful in the day in which we live. Amen? We're not going to sit here tonight and pray for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us. Amen? And give us some kind of spiritual quickening. I don't believe in that tonight. I believe that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're not going to dance around and jump around on the stage trying to summon the Holy Spirit to suddenly somehow charismatically anoint our service. The Holy Spirit of God, how does He work? He works through the Word of God. He works through the divine Word of God. Now, the Word of God, obviously, as we understand what the Bible says, was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, amen, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, He works through the Word of God. He also works through the child of God. We are God's witnesses. We are to preach the Word of God. We are to bear the sword of the Spirit, and the sword and the Spirit of God works through the Word of God and the child of God. Now, we are God's witnesses, and the Holy Spirit, He's the one doing the accusing in people's hearts. We don't need to prove to someone that they're a sinner. We just need to tell them the Word of God. We just need to tell them what the Word of God says. They need to know that they're a sinner. We need to reveal the Word, yes, but it's the Holy Spirit that reproves them. We are the witness. He is the advocate. He is the one that will reprove them. Now, isn't this another reason why perhaps the Spirit of God is called the Comforter? The Comforter. Why is this a comforting truth to us to understand the ministry of the Spirit of God in the world as Christians? Why? Not only because we see God's love for us in seeking us and saving us from the darkness, but also, do we not all have loved ones and friends and family that need to be saved? Don't we all have people that we love throughout this world. And sometimes we despair and we wonder, will they ever be saved? Isn't it encouraging to know that God is at work in the world? Isn't it encouraging to know that we can pray and say, Lord, you know where they are. Lord, you know what they need. Lord, you are able to convict them of sin and to save them. Lord, send the word of God along their way. Lord, send a witness along their way. Lord, continue to reach them, and we know he will. Thank God we can be comforted that God is doing everything he can to bring every sinner to repentance. You see, the Spirit of God is searching. He's like a light in the darkness, searching for the lost. And my point is this, that just like this woman who passionately sought after that one precious lost coin, the Spirit of God is searching for the one who is lost. Amen? The one who is lost. His accusers, the Pharisees, gave the Lord one of the greatest compliments. This man receiveth sinners. Well, yes, God is holy, but he's seeking to save that which is lost. That is the love of God. Notice lastly in your notes, the Spirit's saving. The Spirit's saving. His saving work. Verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. You see, the precious coin, the valuable item, which was lost in the darkness, which was being sought for, which the candle was lit for, is found and is restored back to the rightful owner. Amen. Never to be lost again. My friends, this is a wonderful picture of the believer's salvation. The coin is found and there is rejoicing. There is rejoicing. Now the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit's work in salvation. Notice in your notes, the Holy Spirit's regenerates. The Holy Spirit regenerates. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's read this verse aloud together. It's there in your notes. On to 1, 2. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here the Bible describes to us the Holy Spirit's work in salvation. Now, he not only is present in the world, the Spirit of God, he not only seeks and searches the hearts to win who is lost, but he also saves. Amen? The saving work of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, of the washing of regeneration. My friend, the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were regenerated. That word regenerated means to re-gene. Think about that for a moment. Re-gened. Now, we all have a gene structure in our physical bodies. Some of you have seen a diagram or illustration of the human gene pattern, and that is our physical genetic makeup. Now, what God is talking about here is not our physical being, but our spiritual being. Our spiritual being. You see, before we were saved, you and I were dead spiritually. We were dead. No ability to live for the Lord. No ability to please the Lord. No ability to love the Lord. We were dead spiritually, separated from God. But you know what the Bible tells us? That the moment we repent of our sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God does a miracle in our soul. He regenerates us. He regenes us spiritually. We become new creatures from within. Amen. Now, what did the Lord describe this wonderful miracle at salvation as in John chapter number 3? You must be born again. What does the Bible say? You must be born of water, physically. That's the first birth. And then you must be born of the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God in salvation, not only searching after us, but his work in salvation. Amen? When we are saved, we are literally born from above. Amen? We are born from above. Now, let's not shy away in learning about the Holy Spirit this evening. Sometimes we can get a little bit uncomfortable as independent Baptists because the charismatics abuse who he is. But we need to understand what the Word of God says. My friends, God is a three times holy God, but he's a three times loving God. He's seeking to save that which is lost. If you're saved this evening, this is a wonderful truth to rejoice in, that he is the one that regenerated us. We were spiritually dead, and then the Spirit of God made us spiritually alive, in an instant, making us a child of God. What does he give us? He gives us a new heart. Amen? He gives us a new life. He gives us a new purpose. Now, the miracle doesn't end there. Notice what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says. We're almost there to the end. Ephesians 1, 13, in whom you also trusted, that after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Not only does the Holy Spirit change us from within, he regenerates us, he makes us spiritually alive as a child of God, but he also is the seal of God upon our soul. He's the stamp of God's ownership upon our soul, declaring that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, the coin that was lost, don't miss it, was found. And there was rejoicing in the presence of God, in the presence of the angels. Why? Because when a soul is saved, they are saved forever. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God seeks, searches, saves, seals. Seals with the Holy Spirit of God. How many of us understand this evening that what God seals, whom God seals, no one under heaven or earth can break that seal. No one. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, if we had time, we'd look there, that it cannot be undone by any power in heaven or on earth. My friend, the coin that was lost is now found and is possessed by the owner, never to be lost again. I know we've gone a little bit deeper into this parable than perhaps normally would, but I believe we see the ministry of the saving work of the Spirit of God, the candle of the Lord. Are you rejoicing this evening?
Amen.
And how much God loves you. Amen? And by the way, that's not the end. It's the end of the message. But it's not the end of the work of God's Spirit in us. He still convicts. Amen? That's God's love. He still keeps us sealed. Amen? That's God's love. Nothing we can do, and oftentimes we're asked, you know, if you can just be saved by calling upon the Lord and repenting for your sins once, well, that means you can live as you please. Not true. People that ask that question, in fact, criticize what we believe for that reason, are just like the Pharisees. They don't understand the love of God. They don't understand that God saves once and for all, not because of anything we have done, because of his great love. Amen? Because of his love, he keeps us saved. Because of his love, he changes us from within. Verse 10 concludes in the book of Luke chapter 15. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We like to say, and I think in some songs it's written, that the angels are rejoicing. That's not what the Bible says. Verse 10 says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who is the one doing the rejoicing? Who is the one rejoicing in the lost sinner's salvation? My friends, it is the Lord. It is God who is rejoicing. It is God who is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. This is our God. He draws sinners to himself and receiveth them. What a compliment to the Lord as these Pharisees mocked him. Let me ask you this evening, is the Lord drawing you tonight? Perhaps he's drawing you to salvation. That only you can know. The Lord is convicting you of your need to be saved. Let me encourage you, that is God's love, searching the inner depths of your heart, and he's calling you to come home. If you're a Christian, let me encourage you to rejoice tonight that you were once lost, but you are now found. Who is it that found you? The Lord. God found you. He sought after you. That's why we need to love the Lord. That's why we need to be careful of being like the Pharisees when we look down upon who God is, when we think He doesn't love us anymore. In fact, the Bible tells us there is no way we can fully comprehend the greatness of the love of God. But He wants us as Christians to know Him more, to love Him more, and to serve Him more. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen.